أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله أجمعين وأصحابه المنتجبين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: ومن الناس من يشري نفسه ابتغاء مرضات الله والله رؤوف بالعباد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate. A respectable audience, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As you are well acquainted, we finished talking about Imam Ali alayhi salam's biography during the lifetime of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him and his household. Though in the preface session we started a new chapter, and that was Imam Ali alayhi salam's life during the era of the three caliphs. But indeed, we dwelt and we could not talk about exactly what was those precious moments of Imam Ali alayhi salam's lifetime at the era of the three caliphs. So, according to what our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, predicted, and according to what our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, planned for the future and the aftermath of the Muslims, so it was Ali to be chosen as Muslim leader, and it was explicitly done by our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and it has been explicitly declared during the Ghadir Khum event. So, due to the extensive knowledge, the great piety, piousness, sincerity, honesty, and all those virtues that cannot be enumerated right now, but indeed, due to all these qualities, due to all these virtues and merits, it was to be Ali to be the leaders and the executor and the successor to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. His bravery, his courage, all these things were the topic of every gathering, that how brave and how courageous personality and figure is he amongst all the companions. But when we turn the page of the history, we are encountered or we are faced with a different kind of episodes, with a different kinds of events. As it is said, that according to the laws and regulations, it was he to be appointed, to be selected as the formal and legitimate leader of the Muslims. But after the demise of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, so some of the events, some episodes, some accidents took place that it derailed the successorship and leadership of the Muslims, and it went where it was not to go, it was not to move on that rail. But Imam Ali alayhi salam's life during the era of the three caliphs starts with a very lengthy silence. 25 years of silence, that is something indeed unbearable for a personality such as Imam Ali alayhi salam. But again, it needs the capacity of the infallible Imam and the infallible personality, that he has to bear all these misfortunes, all these troubles, without making this that I have to go there, I have to seek my own personal right, but for the sake of safeguarding the Islamic existence, the Islamic teachings. Indeed, he ignored from his personal interest only for the sake of the expediencies. He thought it is very much need. The Muslims were barely in need of unity and unification at that time, for there were too many internal and external threats and dangers and perils. So due to those things, Imam Ali Salam said not something against those matters which were went on at the time of the three caliphs. But again, in different occasions and different sessions, when he knew that it is now without any danger, he mentioned this, that it was the legitimate right of mine to be appointed a successor to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his household. So now, in this very session, God willing, we are going to enlist, enumerate some of those major activities of Imam alayhi salam during the three caliphs' time. So Imam Ali alayhi salam's life can be restricted within seven categories during this time. The first activity that Imam alayhi salam was overwhelmingly used to do, that was supplication and invocations of Almighty Allah. You know that those lengthy hours, lengthy moments that he used to pass for the sake of sincere supplication in front of Almighty Allah, that is something well known for all the companions, for all the people. Supplication and the merit, supplication to, comparing to the status of Imam Ali alayhi salam, that is indeed one of the magnificent tasks that he used to do. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, who is well known of bowing, prostrating in front of Almighty Allah for lengthy hours, he was wondering that how his grandfather, Imam Ali alayhi salam, had those supplications, had those sincere supplications. You know that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is Zayn al-Abidin. It means that those who are worshipping, the decoration or the splendid point of all those worshippers of Almighty Allah is Imam Sajjad. For this, that he was the most sincere, he was the most honest amongst all, and all confessed that he is the personality, he is the figure that should be praised, that should be adored, that should be admired. But the same Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, when talking about his grandfather Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says that our supplication can never be compared with that of Imam Ali alayhi salam. For that is wonderful, that is indeed great and magnificent, that how Imam Ali alayhi salam passed all those nights supplicating in front of Almighty Allah, reciting the verse of the Holy Quran and writing down the scripture of the Holy Quran. So our prayers cannot be compared, cannot be indeed compared with that of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So these supplications, these sincere and lengthy hours of being preoccupied with Almighty Allah's invocations, reciting the verse of the Holy Quran, these are the magnificent part of Imam Ali alayhi salam's life during the three caliphs era. The second category, or the second phase of Imam Ali alayhi salam's life during this time, is interpretation of the verses of the Holy Quran. You know that interpreting or commenting on the verse of the Holy Quran needs extensive knowledge. It needs an abundant amount of knowledge, cognition, and understanding. Everyone is not able to interpret the verse of the Holy Quran. Even sometimes it can be claimed that even the Arab people, they themselves do confess and preface that indeed we do not know the meaning of the verses of the Holy Quran. So it needs a person, it needs a figure that has to be equipped with some certain knowledge, that he has to interpret the verse of the Holy Quran. So now we are not in the position to enumerate the conditions of those interpreters, that what are the conditions that they have to meet, they have to satisfy, that they should be eligible for interpreting the verse of the Holy Quran, such as piety, such as knowledge, such as, for example, being aware with Arabic literature, being indeed God aware, or being the person who should not be overcome by his own personal desires. So the second phase of Imam Ali alayhi salam's life during the era of the three caliphs is interpreting the verses of the Holy Quran and training some of the noble personalities in this field. I mean, commenting on the verse of the Holy Quran, such as Ibn Abbas. You know that after Imam Ali alayhi salam, according to most of the people, according to most of the interpreters right now, so Ibn Abbas is of those great interpreter. But indeed, he was educated, he was trained by Imam Ali alayhi salam, and there is no doubt, there is no hesitation about this. But now we can ask this question, that our Sunni brothers' books and religious authorities or religious resources, reliable sources, are filled with somewhat Ibn Abbas' quotations, narrations, but why they do not have room left for Imam Ali alayhi salam's quotations, narrations, while he is the teacher, while he is the instructor of Ibn Abbas. But again, it makes no difference due to too many reasons, so they could not, their books could not bring or could not cover those narratives of Imam Ali alayhi salam's about interpreting the verses of the Holy Quran. So indeed, interpreting of the verses of the Holy Quran not only needs that we have to be very much well acquainted of those Arabic literature and those subtle points, rather it needs that we should have a very full control over all verses of the Holy Quran. You know that sometimes a general point is mentioned here, but it has been restricted in another verse which comes after 7 or 6 chapters. So a person should have control. A person should be very much keen and sharp that all the verses must be interpreted without making contradictory points, without making conflicts amongst the verses of the Holy Quran. Sometimes it is said, for example, that no one knows and understands the world of the unseen except Almighty Allah. So if we only interpret this verse of the Holy Quran, you would be believing that, okay, no one except Almighty Allah knows about the world of the unseen. But in another verse, it is said that except a person who has to be chosen and has a person has to be selected or elected by Almighty Allah. And here it means the one who is going to interpret the verse of the Holy Quran, he has to have full control, has to be fully acquainted of all the verses equally, and the occasions where all those verses have been revealed, all of them must be known, all of them must be understood and conceived and perceived.
This is the Call of Islam.
And you are listening to the program, The Life of Imam Ali.
So after talking about the first and second phases of Imam Ali al-Islam's life during the era of the three caliphs, I mean supplication in those activities such as interpreting the verses of the Holy Quran and solving the problems of this field, we come to the third phase and the third category of Imam Ali al-Islam's life during the era of the three caliphs. The third category of Imam Ali al-Islam's life, or the third phase of Imam Ali al-Islam's life, starts with responding to those questions raised by the foreigners and those who were just newly coming and embracing Islam as their legitimate, as their formal religion, so in doctrine. You know that when Islam emerged, when Islam came into being or existence, so there were many Ahlul Kitab, there were too many followers and adherents of the people of the scripture. For example, there were too many Jews, there were too many Christians. So there were some tidbits news in their own books that indeed a person by the name of Ahmed, who is called Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him and his household, he will emerge and you have to convert to his religion, you have to go and embrace and receive wholeheartedly his religion. So waiting for such moments, some of them came and converted to Islam without any question, without any raising problems, or without making conspiracies against Islam. And indeed, there were some that they hesitated, either they have to convert or not. And unfortunately, the third group amongst these people were those who were defiant, who remained defiant enough towards this conversion. And even they started collecting weapons, collecting data for making conspiracies and plots against eradication of Muslims from this region. So, but some of them who hesitated, When Islam consolidated itself in Medina and they conquered Mecca, and after the demise of our Holy Prophet, so the Muslim people got much power, so they say that, okay, we have to ask our questions from these people. If the questions were responded satisfactorily, and we would, with great pleasure, we would convert to this religion. So responding to those problems raised by these people, for example, their questions were relevant to their own religion, some of their questions were related to Islam, some of the questions related to some historical facts. So it needs a person that he has to give the full satisfactory responses to these people, otherwise they would not convert, they would not be satisfied of the truth of the newborn religion. So one of the tasks, one of the major tasks of Imam Ali alayhi salam during the three caliphs era was this, that he has to respond to the questions raised by these people. So comparing to the Muslim community, they were called foreigners, or they were called those that they have not yet converted to Islam. So their questions and their problems that they raised were very much sensitive and were barely in need of extensive realm of knowledge. So none could stand against this problem. None could come and meet this challenge except Ali alayhi salam, with extensive knowledge that he got from our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, during his lifetime, and also on those last moments that he was alive. So he was responding to the problems and to the questions of the Jews and the Christians. So some of their priests, some of their clergymen were fully aware of the historical facts. So it means that they were barely in need of the satisfactory responses. So Imam Ali alayhi salam is taught to meet and to satisfy this need of the people. Otherwise, it would have a bitter and unbearable aftermath and consequences if the Muslim people were not able to respond to their questions positively. You know that this is very much sensitive, that when this school of thought is going to emerge, it needs some indeed theoretical personalities. It needs the persons that they should be theoretically supporting this religion. There are some phrases and terms that sometimes I doubt to use, but it is said there should be some ideologians that they should adhere, they should support from their ideology. And here Imam alayhi salam stood in the form of an ideologian, and he was responding to the questions raised by those people about their new ideology. That's why they accepted Islam as their new, as their religion, as their doctrine and creed. Why not the Christianity? Why not the Jews? So because of this, Imam alayhi salam was responding to this question, and he played a major and vital role in this path. You know that whenever they were coming to seek the truth, whenever they were coming and were going to follow their own questions in Medina or in Mecca, they used to go to those formal courses of the caliphs. But indeed, at the time that they could not respond to the questions raised by them, they were sending representatives, or they were sending some people to bring Imam Ali alayhi salam, or to take him in the court. And when Imam alayhi salam was responding to those questions, these responding the questions made all the caliphs, made all those who were present in the court pleased. All of them got glad. All of them got remarkably happy and delighted hearing the responses given by Imam Ali alayhi salam. So this was the third phase of Imam Ali alayhi salam's life during the lifetime of the three caliphs. The fourth phase of Imam Ali alayhi salam's life is this, that he has to give the responses of those new things that have happened at the time of the three caliphs. You know that some of the events which have not yet been occurred, So their verdicts, their precepts were not also told by our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. So at that time, for example, the new things happened at the time of the three caliphs that they have not any precedence at the time of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, and the people were fully ignorant about the precepts, about the verdicts of those things. So, due to this, the Shi'as believe that after the demise of our Holy Prophet, there should be an infallible figure, that he should have full knowledge about all the affairs, about all the principles, about all the precepts. If the new matters come into being, if the new matters come into existence, there should not be any problem, there should not be any difficulties on this infallible successor after the demise of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So he has to solve the problems without any difficulties. So this is a very, very sensitive and one of the most subtle points that we believe that the most knowledgeable after our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household, he should be the executor and he should give the verdict as a last verdict for all the people. Otherwise, if everyone starts comparing his own imagination with the verse of the Holy Quran, they will reach somewhat arbitrary and somewhat sometimes rubbish verdicts. And most of them might do not have a revelatory or Quranic basis and roots. So here, Imam's vital role is manifested that with extensive knowledge, he was giving the very important responses to those questions, to those newborn questions, for those newborn events and happenings. Every time, you know, that is called mustahdatha, or those new or new emerged affairs. For those new emerged affairs, so the people were not fully aware of their verdicts. But Imam alayhi salam was aware, and he was giving the verdicts and the judgments and the precepts about those things. So if the extensive knowledge, if the expanded realm of the knowledge of Imam Ali alayhi salam was not there, so indeed they were lacking the responses, they were lacking the due precepts about the newborn happenings. And it would have faced, it would have tackled the Muslims with great amount of the problems. So this was the fourth phase of Imam Ali alayhi salam's life during the era of the three caliphs. Allah, Allah, yeah, Allah, Allah, yeah, Allah, Allah, yeah, Allah, 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 yeah, Allah, Allah.
This is the call of Islam, and you are listening to the program, The Life of Imam Ali.
Yes, a complementary point that it should be added to the fourth phase of Imam Ali alayhi salam's life is this, that a major part of Imam Ali alayhi salam's judgment about different events that has been compiled by Muhammad Taqi Shushtari in a book that this author has compiled and has gathered and collected data about those wonderful judgments Imam Ali alayhi salam made for making the right and the truthfulness explicit and manifest. So the fifth phase of Imam Ali alayhi salam's life during the caliphate or leadership of the three caliphs, Imam Ali alayhi salam's vital and most important role can be understood and can be studied easily, that he was of the most reliable consultant for the caliphs in those political deadlocks they faced. Whenever they faced with those deadlocks, whenever they faced with those tough problems and difficulties that they were not able to cross, so they used to bring Imam Ali alayhi salam in their court, and he was playing the vital role of troubleshooting the troubles, difficulties in those tough affairs that they could not, usually they could not cross. So they were done by Imam Ali alayhi salam. And in the various part, in the various occasions, Imam Ali alayhi salam went on the course, and the caliphs were benefited of the three caliphs. These consultations, these suggestions that Imam Ali alayhi salam made for the caliphs, it has been recorded in those reliable sources of the Shias and of the Sunnis too. In some of those consultations that he made for the caliphs, that is accessible in Nahjul Balagha too. So this was the fifth phase of Imam Ali alayhi salam's life during the three caliphs. And that he was brought in the court, and the caliphs were benefited of the most subtle and magnificent political consultations of Ali alayhi salam in different episodes and events. The sixth phase is this, that Imam Ali alayhi salam used to train some of those eligible personalities for elevation, for spiritual elevation. For this, that they have to be uplifted spiritually, they have to be elevated spiritually. And from this aspect of life, they have to be promoted. Those who were ready, those backgrounds which were ready for Imam Ali alayhi salam's training in educative elements, so he used to give his educative tips for them, that they should be elevated spiritually and internally, so that a spiritual life may be provided for them. So the seventh phase of Imam Ali alayhi salam's, or the last phase during the three caliphs, that is this, that Imam Ali alayhi salam was usually and was personally working for himself for acquiring a dignified source of income. What I mean is this, that Imam Ali alayhi salam was not very much relying on those common welfare incomes that has been distributed by the Muslim caliphs. Rather, he was personally working for himself, and not only for himself, but also he was dedicating the services he made for the poor and for the needy ones, for those infants, for those orphans, for those widows, and for those who were divorced. It means he made services for these people too, that they should not be deprived of a dignified standard of life. So they were usually benefited of Imam Ali alayhi salam's explicit and sometimes hidden assistances and offers. So these were of the major phases of Imam Ali alayhi salam's life during the lifetime of the three caliphs. These were of those major activities Imam Ali alayhi salam was busy with. But here it is worthy that we have to mention that it is one of the great deplore, or matter of deplores, or a matter of remorse, that most of the historians, most of the people who were writing the histories, they did not pay attention to this part of Imam Ali al-Islam's life in their history. They did not preoccupy themselves with the detailed parts of Imam Ali al-Islam's life in this field. When you study the histories written by them or compiled by them, you often find that Imam Ali al-Islam's life is taken from the lifetime of our Holy Prophet, and it is ended with his Khilafat, and there is no tips or hints about Imam Ali alayhi salam's life in this period that he was keeping silence for 25 years. But alas, and more regrettable is this, that whenever these historians or these historical books, they are coming to the Umayyads or Abbasids caliphs, they are not only encountering their personal characteristics, not only they are coming and enlisting all those attitudes they themselves had, their wives had, their slaves had, their all blinding hearts, but also they start to talk about those detailed things that they are not very much effective in today's life of ours. They even start to talk about even those poems which some of the poets have compiled in the courts, or those poets which for the sake of earning money compiled and composed the poems for the sake of admiring those Abbasids and Umayyads caliph. They even note all those details. They even note all those people that they were usually coming in the courts. Not only them, but also those beloved people by the caliphs and by those who are present in the court. Sometimes the historical books are covering those matters which indeed are not only precious, but also they are disgraceful. For those points, for those hints, are unveiling or exposing the realities of the courts, which are not only a matter of pride, but a matter of disgrace, not only for the Shi'ites, but also for a Sunni brother. What I mean is this, that the historical books which have been compiled at that time, they usually had not paid attention to the detailed parts of Imam Ali alayhi salam's lives during this era. Or on this era, they had not paid attention much about his life, about those tips. But they have sufficiently paid attention to the governors and to those people who were there in the court, who were there and the three amongst the three caliphs, and those people, those poems which have been composed on their honor, on their pride. But it needs that we have to be very much careful of studying the historical books, having this judgment, having this discernment that Imam Ali alayhi salam was the most knowledgeable figure amongst all the companions, not only by the sayings of the Shias, but also by the confessions made by the first, second, third caliphs, and all those who were there at the time of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him and his household. So may God bless us all, that we have to be benefited of these historical facts. Secondly, we have to have fair and fair knowledge about Imam Ali al-Islam's life. And after the demise of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, our religious authority is concerned to be Imam Ali alayhi salam, and after him, his son, and after him, the next son, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, then it will continue to Imam Zaman, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Again, I do beseech Almighty Allah that he may give us this awareness, this understanding, that we have to practically imitate them, imitate their footprints, so that we have to achieve the eternal salvation in the life hereafter. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillahi alladhi ja'alana من المتمسكين بولايته علي بن أبي طالب والأئمة المعصومين عليهم السلام.